Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there.
Get
over there. Everybody up there.
Get into it.
Ooh-way.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to Grill Nation here on KMBZ 980 AM. Also appreciate you joining me today on iTunes via podcast and on our website at grillnationshow.com. Before we get to our guest, we're going to have a great guest today for the full hour. I want to talk to and present our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show. They are awesome people here in Kansas City and in the region, and they have great companies as well. The title sponsors of this show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies and Ryan Rink. Contributors to the Grill Nation Show include the KCADC, Kansas City Area Development Council, the Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co. Ryan Mabey is a guest host and honor contributor, and Brian Sarf with True Wealth & Company, a guest host and honor contributor. Thank you to all of our great partners and supporters. You can find out more information about them on grillnationshow.com. You can also find all of our old shows, and links to our guests, and all of our podcasts on the website as well, and all of my social media information. Search for Jason Grill on social media or connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill. On today's show, we have on John Stevens. His Twitter handle is at Rock Hill Strat, S-T-R-A-T. He is the president and
CEO
of of Port KC. Their website is portkc.com. John is a civic and public affairs guru here in Kansas City. He's also been an executive and CEO at many area organizations, which we'll get into on the show. And we met years ago when he was over at Cordish when that thing took off, the Power and Light District. So It's great to have you on the show finally.
Glad to be here.
It's been
Jason.
A long time.
I think
this is like show 180 or so with Grill Nation. We did about 150 shows with Entrepreneur KC. I'd never had you on. It's crazy.
I know, it's crazy. And I think we've talked about it 150 times at different places around town, at Thalmeus and all these different places. And I'm glad to be on.
So you grew up here in town, correct?
I did. Grew up in South Kansas City. Hickman Mills grad. Grew up in KCMO on the very south side off of Raytown Road. And
went to Mizzou?
Went to Mizzou.
That's one thing we have in common. I think we actually might have met on a Mizzou trip.
I think you're right. I think we did.
One of the early ones. One of the early road trips. I can't remember which one it was, but that's when we were killing people back in the
exactly.
day. Winning Big 12 North championships.
When we were hitting those. So, I went to Mizzou, journalism, history, poli-sci, probably on more of a track that you were on early in your career, was going to head to law school. And
smart decision.
I hear that. I only hear that from attorneys.
Yeah, right.
They're like, smart decision,
no,
you didn't
I'm
do
kidding.
That. But.
But you went to Mizzou and you thought, get a journalism degree, maybe go to law school.
Journalism degree was, that was going to be the basis, right? It was, about, being able to take in immense amounts of knowledge, distill information, really learn it quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that background at Mizzou and just the overall educational experience at Mizzou prepared me for, being able to jump in and I've had other executives tell me that I parachute into organizations sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, but it sort of has prepared me mm-hmm. to be able to come in and in the course of days or weeks, really pull in and look at what matters, create a task list, create a management plan, bring a team together, really develop this team, activate them, and then roll.
So you did journalism and political science.
Yeah.
So you thought maybe about running for office or were you just,
Oh yeah.
Oh,
no,
you did? Okay.
I did. You know, I had the idea.
Another
that
smart
was,
move. You didn't do that either.
Exactly. You know, I had the I had the long term plan starting in about seventh grade of undergrad, law school, then head to D.C., yeah. do all the right internships, do all of that. Was lucky enough in high school and college, you know, dabbled with the volunteerism with different state political candidates and mm-hmm. local candidates. And it was an amazing experience. And it serves you well, yeah, those sort of understanding how the system works, both mm-hmm. at a local, state, and national level.
I can say that maybe you don't fit a job resume when you're a state legislator for down the road. You're not your typical agency, you know, how many years do you have? But as far as juggling a lot of balls, I mean, you're always constantly dealing with people and
Absolutely.
Issues. And so I think as far as government goes, that's always a plus. Plus, you're drinking from a fire hose and you're able to deal with crisis.
Exactly. You know how to deal with crisis. And actually, I think most people that gravitate towards that, those sort of careers thrive a little bit on it.
So you started kind of in the, you know, agency world. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. My
you worked
first
at Mizzou
full-time
for
job.
A while, yeah.
My first full-time job was when I deferred law school. I stayed at the university. I thrived on that. I wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, when you have the $450 a month apartment, you know, and life is pretty good.
I was just down in Columbia recently. It's amazing now. You know,
it got all the
bad press years ago, but I'll tell you what, so much development. The bookstore is insane.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah. I lived over by Stevens College in this two bedroom place. Still had shag carpeting, but you know what? You paid $450 a month. You could walk to campus. You could walk to downtown. It was a pretty good life for a couple of years.
Yeah,
and so I worked for the Alumni Association. Got to travel around. Did international trips with alumni.
Wow.
Did national trips. Really. The most amazing part of that was they divided all of us up, all of the different alumni coordinators, into different regions of the nation, the world, and the state. So I had the North Central Missouri area for a while. And so it was amazing, the love and the passion that these small towns had for their school, for the state university. And so I'd go up and host, you know, speak at a steak fry. It was wonderful.
Like you're political. That's kind of like being a politician.
It was.
So you kind of got your fill of the speaking and the networking and the
absolutely.
Representing.
And really learning the outstate areas, which, you know, now.
You kind of forget about.
You sort of forget about it. And now we've sort of reached this position in Missouri, I think, like a lot of states, where many people perceive it as the urban areas versus the rural areas. And there's this great divide. And there is some of that, but mm-hmm. I think a real key there is get out into, you know, I think people in Kansas City do need to get out to these small towns and they'll discover that there's a lot more there than they ever thought there was.
There really is. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the state places that are pretty amazing in Missouri that, you know, people probably have never even heard of or been to.
Exactly.
And when you travel, you get to notice that. John Stevens is with me today. John, we're going to take a break here in about a minute, but you kind of did the agency thing, and then you kind of were started at Cordish.
Yeah, yeah. So
agency was pretty typical, right? You did a lot of marketing,
pretty,
a lot of branding.
Pretty typical agency, but then I moved. We spun off a company at Barclay called Three Wide Marketing, and it was really one of the first true sports marketing licensing companies. So we did mobile marketing back when mobile meant on wheels, not on your phone.
Okay.
You know, and we did a lot of licensing partnerships. So I worked with Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, a lot of these things. And what I found, honestly, was I loved the marketing and branding and advertising side of it and the PR side. But what I loved almost as much was the deal making.
Oh, yeah.
And putting those things together. And that then catapulted me into working with national restaurateurs, national hotels, big real estate developments, then got connected to David Cordish. And next thing I know, I'm director of marketing communications for Cordish. 6 months later, he flies in and says, this Power and Light District thing is coming out of the ground. We really need somebody here locally to run it. Over dinner, I became president of Power and Light District. And,
Look at that. I want to get into that more after the break. John Stevens is with us. You've taken a lot of executive and CEO roles. I'm going to talk about that. And then also we'll talk about what you're doing now at Port KC. You're listening to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM KC.
Tune
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM KMBZ. I appreciate you joining us today. And also, if you're listening on iTunes and podcast, we appreciate that as well. I'm your host, Jason Grill, and our guest today is John Stevens, who's President and CEO of Port KC. The website is portkc.com. We're going to get to that here in just a second. John, you we kind of went through some of your background, but you obviously took on executive roles at Cordish when that kind of – or at Power and Light District when that kind of sprung up. You've worked in Visit KC. You kind of been involved with development and tourism throughout your career, and that's pretty cool. So you served as the president and CEO, too, of Visit KC after Cordish, Power and Light District.
Correct, yeah.
So tell me how that kind of worked for you, because I think it's interesting. For those listening who are a business owner or who are civic-minded, how did that transition start? Because you were basically a director of marketing, right? And then you took on that president's role. Next thing you know, you're president of Visit KC.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it was a big leap, but it actually felt natural at the time. We were in the throes of building what at the time was one of the largest urban redevelopment districts in America. And in the marketing communications PR world at that at Cordish, that was really what it was all about. You had the construction teams and they were very capable to actually build the buildings, but how were they going to be signed? What were the tenants coming in? How were you going to grand open the tenants? How were you going to market it? What's the positioning of the entire district? So,
and this was in 2009,
2008, 2009. Okay. Yeah. And
we always forget that was like right after the recession.
It was coming right into it. We opened, the Monterey stood on the live stage with Jackhammer still going around me and promised that we would have 12 restaurants open by the Big 12 tournament.
I remember that.
So we was 12 by 12. We ended up having 14 open and it was a huge hit, but the other seven blocks were still a massive construction zone, but it came along and then we started changing the narrative of, well, yes, this is an entertainment district. But what I kept telling everybody was Kansas City, people forget 10, 15 years ago, all you had at 5 o'clock was taillights headed south on I-35.
You had haunted houses and boarded up buildings.
It was gone, right? Yeah. Everyone left at 5. You could shoot a cannon down Grand and not hit anyone.
Mm-hmm. People and forget that.
Everyone
bashes downtown development.
Exactly.
They don't remember what it was like in 2007.
They really need to go back and look at the photos.
Oh yeah.
Of what it was. And so my goal was first and foremost, we have to change the perceptions of downtown and there were a lot of other players. I mean, Downtown Council was growing. Mm-hmm. All these other organizations were really starting to really make big moves. So Cordish was not alone in any of this. The Sprint Center and AEG. I mean, all of this was bubbling up all simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, the biggest credit goes to Mayor Kay Barnes. Kay created, she laid the groundwork for all of it through the Sasaki plans and through really building coalitions and building this network to bring all this to bear. Mm-hmm. But our real philosophy that we laid out was at 5 o'clock on especially Fridays and Saturdays, we want to see headlights coming north on I-35 coming in to come downtown to spend money. And we were successful. Part of the 5-year plan of that was, and I said it, and people did not believe, in 2008, people did not believe you, 2008, 2009, when I said, well, eventually this will become a neighborhood just like any other, and it will still be a core of convention goers and, weekend entertainment. That's the core of it. But ultimately, this will spur a central business district neighborhood. And we were able to open the Cosentino's grocery store, and now you're seeing that maturation, both with One Light, Two Light, the Getting Ready to Break Ground, Three Light, but also all of the other residential that's gone in around it, thousands of units. Now, nobody in 2008, if I had said, you'll see people with strollers and people walking their dogs and people jogging on Main Street, I would have gotten laughed out of a room.
Oh, yeah. And I lived downtown for 3+ years in One Light and I was second resident. And you'd be shocked at how many things go on that you have no idea. Even if you're as seasoned as you are, I mean, on a Saturday you have kids cheerleading competition at municipal. You have tourism, you have events, you have tons of conventions down there. Then you have a concert. You go from Kid Rock one night to, Kanye. I mean, it's crazy the different amount of people that kind of come through downtown now. And then people that live there. I mean, I had a dog. I mean, there's so many dog people and It's just really cool to see.
Well, we've always, you know, there's an economic development philosophy called the three-legged stool. Mm-hmm. And to really be a true downtown, to be the downtown that is the center axis that helps support the entire region, you have to have all three legs. And that's residential, office, and tourism. Mm-hmm. And we really struggled with all three of those at varying times over the last 50 years.
Still kind of struggle with office, don't we?
We do.
That's what I have Tim Cowden on and others. And one of the reasons he says is because we, in order to build a building, usually you need a tenant, right? In Kansas City, right, to get any kind of incentive or 50% or whatever. And so other cities are building downtown,
right,
off, class A office, before they have tenants, and people are filling them because everyone wants to live in those places. And so if we could just get one of our big companies to move downtown, that'd be amazing. I think that's kind of one thing that we need to continue to figure out.
We do need to continue to figure that out. And it's not an us versus them. It's not suburb versus urban. But we do really need more commitment from growing corporations, growing businesses, and just the smaller businesses that are thriving, looking at purpose-built class A office space, multi-tenancy kind of office space. I do think
we are having some more than our, you know, the last few years have been good. I'm seeing a ton more businesses downtown, and especially in the Crossroads. There's so many down there.
And they're filling in a lot of those sort of what would be called class B, class C kind of areas, and then improving them. And that's been great. Well, the good news is the demand is starting to outstrip the supply for all of those sort of buildings. You know, you have the Corrigan Stations of the world that have done a great job.
Oh, amazing. Hugely popular. There is amazing.
Yeah. You know, those things have really changed the narrative. So I am cautiously optimistic that in the next few months, you will hear about probably one of the first large class A office buildings coming into the marketplace, because I do think, and it won't be, I don't think you'll see a big headquarters come into it, but I think you will see two or three large users committing to that plus 50% threshold, which is the trigger to get those kind of projects. Because people forget, a project like that, you know, you're talking at the low end, upper 90s to $100 million, and really upwards of 200 to 300 million to build something like that.
Just think about this though. Think about if many of our friends that are at big companies that started big companies, just imagine, if you will, if one of those had located 20,000 jobs downtown.
Oh,
Sprint, Cerner, you name your big company in Kansas City. Hallmark's down there, obviously, but you know, that would have been crazy back then and revolutionary.
Yeah, no, it would have changed everything.
For residential and for people. I mean, you'd see people walking around everywhere.
No, I mean, I've painted visions for people in urban planning when we have these conversations. If you had maybe a major telecom headquarters on the east side of downtown, and then you had a major healthcare headquarters over on the west side of downtown, and then maybe a major film theatrical provider or something taking this amazing new artistic space in the West Bottoms, I think right now, if something like that were to have happened, or even one of those were to have happened, we're already, when in 2008 we had 5,000 residents in downtown. I think we're at about 30,000 and growing now.
I mean, it's crazy. It's growing like crazy.
We would be at 60 to 100,000 downtown residents, and we would still be having the same discussions about affordability and these other issues, but we would be in a much larger, greater downtown growth period than maybe we're in right now. Mm-hmm. But I will say, we talk about comp sets. We've caught up or are catching up to a lot of our peer, you know, a lot of our peer cities. And over the last decade, we've done a very good job. We have a long ways to go, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we do. John Stevens is with us. John, a couple minutes left in the segment. You worked in tourism for quite a while.
I did.
Visit KC. Yeah. You've been, you know, in different spots, different executive roles. A lot of hotels. Yep. Going into downtown. Crossroads Hotel just opened. Great, great, great venue. We've got many, many more. Talk to us about why that's important. Sure. I know that you are very passionate about convention hotel going in and tourism and big conferences and all kinds of different options, boutique hotel, large hotels, whatnot.
Yeah. People forget that not only is tourism an economic development driver, but it's also a corporate location driver. Mm-hmm. Large conferences, corporations, those things, those have long-term effects on where businesses locate. It also affects flights, direct flights to the airport, a lot of these other things that then benefit business and business growth and business retention. So I view tourism not as the, you know, the fluffy side of Kansas City, but as really an economic engine. And I've been lucky. People forget about business tourism.
They just think it's somebody coming here to go to Worlds of Fun or a Chiefs game. It's conferences. It's meetings. It's more flights. It's so many things.
Absolutely. And it's also, we talk a lot about the, you know, the innovation districts and about why people want to be in the Crossroads. Well, if you took the tourist dollars out of most of the restaurants and coffee shops and shops in the Crossroads, there would be probably 50% fewer of those. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the dollars spent are tourist dollars, both business tourism, convention tourism, and leisure tourism. So they're actually subsidizing a large percentage of the entertainment and business community that then is a huge benefit to the tech community, to the innovation community. You know, you want amazing collision density, right? You hear that all the time. And we're getting there. But if we didn't have the tourism dollar, we wouldn't have nearly as many. And I would challenge you next time you have a restaurant or coffee shop entrepreneur or, you know, someone like that on, ask them about the tourist dollar and how that supports and really underwrites a lot of what they do in the community.
Definitely, for sure. John Stevens is with us. He's president and CEO of Port KC. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about Port KC. John is new into the job, and I want to talk to him about the future of the riverfront here in downtown Kansas City. You're listening to Grill Nation.
I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. Appreciate you joining us today, on whether you're on KMBZ 980 AM or on iTunes via podcast or on our website at grillnationshow.com. Again, you can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Fascinating conversation today with John Stevens, who's the president and CEO of Port KC. Their website is portkc.com. Port KC's mission is to grow the economy of KC's Port District through transportation, global commerce, and development. The organization's vision is to be the premier port providing efficient, effective, and innovative transportation and development solutions to compete nationally and globally. John started very recently. Was it October? Beginning of October? Maybe.
Yeah, this is my fourth week.
Okay, good. Okay, so tell us about this journey. We skipped a few other CEO positions that you held, such as, and I'll mention those, what am I talking about here? Oh, yeah. Kansas City, Unified Governor of Kansas City, Kansas, and Wyandotte County. Mm-hmm. You led their economic development. You also started your own businesses along the way. And you've now ended up at Port KC.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us about Port KC and what you're up to.
Yeah. Well, what led me to Port KC was, I joined the Unified Government KCK, and I'll tell you, I just have to take a few seconds and say that KCK is such a gem in Kansas City, particularly with David Alvey, Mayor Alvey, really looking at the strong towns model of reclaiming your urban neighborhoods and your downtown and Strawberry Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell everyone, if you haven't checked out like 6th Street and Strawberry Hill and some of these little places overlooking downtown KCMO, get over there because you're going to miss out, and it's going to be this exploding hot new neighborhood because it's already right there.
I've been hearing about it.
So get over there because they're doing a lot of amazing things. And I was lucky enough over 2 years to play a role in bringing the first downtown grocery store. We're bringing the Merck from Lawrence, which is a cooperative grocery store, to downtown that'll open next year. And moving a lot of things in place with multimodal transit, which connects across the river into the West Bottoms and down into the riverfront, which when I decided to join Port KC, I looked at
and Port we've had KC. Them on the radio show before. I've had the former CEO and president on, and I've had
Michael,
Marissa.
On
the show before
Marissa,
as well.
Yeah. Marissa Cleaver.
Yeah. Marissa
Excellent.
Cleaver. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've done a little bit on this, but this was way back when. This is before the John Stevens era kicked off.
Yeah, the 3 weeks of the John Stevens era.
This is when I still dreamed of a downtown baseball stadium on the riverfront.
Well,
or Sporting KC Park over there. Now it's a lot of mixed use, right?
That's not in our current strategic plan. However, I will say that the breadth of how Port KC can support the community and can grow the community is what drew me to the organization. Mm-hmm. It has a great team of incredible professionals. That obviously the most visible piece of it is the Berkeley Riverfront Park. We've developed Berkeley Riverfront from the Isle of Capri and the Bond Bridge over to the Town of Kansas Bridge that connects to the River Market, the pedestrian mm-hmm. access points, and everything in between. We have the ability to develop several million square feet there, and we're actively working on that. And the goal is really to kick that in the next couple of years, really into overdrive and move to a 2.0 model of innovation.
It's like the one thing that hasn't really been effectively utilized, I don't think, in our city compared to other cities.
No, it hasn't. You know, and we've quietly put things into place. It's highly used on the weekends now, nice days. It's a running route. It's
hugely popular. Events in the park all the time.
And then Labe and his partners have built Barquet.
Yeah.
They're a partner tenant of ours down there. That place very is successful. Just amazing. Then the Union, 410 apartments.
Wow.
So those are all now online with the infrastructure. We're actually moving our offices down there in December of this year. Mm. So we'll be on the riverfront. And it's just the start of that. We're in the discussions and working on how we can fast track bringing the streetcar through the riverfront, which is yet another huge necessary connective tissue to development down there. And the idea is for that to continue to mature, to really, we've turned our backs on the river for decades and decades. And now we have an opportunity. We have a buildable sites connected to Columbus Park, connected to downtown, and the other thing that people forget, connected to the Northland. And those are all going to be incredibly important. So we are turning we're turning around and facing the river again and using that as a valuable, a valuable development tool. And you'll see, I think, more apartments, hotels, office, a lot of things that are supportive and view it, particularly as we look at how we address the North Loop and connect the River Market more effectively to the Central Business District. The riverfront's all going to connect to it, and it is downtown, right? It's not a separate area. It's downtown.
It's just the highways. They separate us there.
Just the highways, and we'll get there.
I hope so. We've been talking for years about like what Denver has, right, with the park over the highway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's another thing that, just makes so much sense to connect the crossroads to financial downtown.
Yeah, decking the South, OJB, a company, there is an urban planning company. They did the Dallas project. They've done other projects around the world. We have the plan. The plan is in place to deck the South Loop and connect the crossroads to
an overground park. That's
and
so
then
cool.
On the north side, it's all about mitigating the highway. So you take the North Loop and you narrow it, you eliminate the exits, you make the bridges wider, you do pedestrian thoroughfares through, and you just make it a natural walkable connectivity to the River Market, which the River Market is thriving and so is downtown. So why not connect them? And then what people forget then is we have to look east, and we have you're seeing that at 18th Street. Well, the East Bottoms, you're seeing it at 18th Street, continuing the East Crossroads movement to connect 18th and Vine with the East Crossroads. That
important.
Will happen.
Yeah.
I think the big one for the north side and for the River Market is to build transit-oriented development down Independence Avenue. And really, people that haven't spent time on Independence Avenue, it is an amazing, amazing
melting
area.
Pot.
It's a melting pot.
Yeah.
I mean, truly one of our only true legitimate international neighborhoods with dozens of cultures all living and working together and great little shops. And we need to do more to connect to the east side, because then that really helps support job development and workforce development.
Your mind just explodes if you think about development in those areas, of how big and how much more space you have and how much more development you could have and people in downtown.
Absolutely, Jason. One of the things, one of the hot topics in the upcoming mayoral election has been affordability of housing, right? Well, there are two key factors in that, is from my estimation. One is we have to stop saying, well, affordable housing needs to go on this block, right in the middle of this neighborhood or right in the middle of the crossroads. Yes, there are sometimes you can do percentages and various things of fixed rent rates and things, but I think our better play, if we're going to really absorb the 20-some thousand net new migration that's coming into the metro every year and give true, legitimate, high-quality living options to everyone, is we have to look at connecting new apartment buildings and new housing along high-efficiency transit corridors where, yeah, you might, if you can afford this amount, you might live 8 blocks out of the loop, but you know what? You're one stop away on a MAX line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, you're still in a vibrant neighborhood with great restaurants and all of these things. We have to think bigger and grow and connect. Mm-hmm. It's about growing and connecting. That's going to keep the affordability aspect. It's going to keep it more affordable. And then we have to look to the east side. And I'm probably not going to win any friends at City Hall on saying this, but we have to stop demolishing houses on the east side and start investing in rehabbing.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to lose any friends. That's smarter. That's smarter. The private sector can help do that, and it's very cheap.
And it's
much cheaper than building new.
It's what we did in KCK of redirecting those dollars. And we had private, you know, we will have done 100 home rehabs with private sector qualified rehabbers in the downtown core, 100 of them, where you basically give them the house, they put their own private equity into it, and then they flip it or sell it or rent it. And you can do it for so much less. Trying to build a new house, even a basic house, is $200,000. Well, there are a lot of people that cannot afford a $200,000 mortgage. And you just can't build a house for cheaper than that.
$50,000 or less is kind of what.
$50,000 or less.
The Section 8 stuff's even more difficult with, I mean,
exactly.
There's not many people that can do it, that can build.
No, it's a difficult thing. Homes. So that's why we have to break the model. One of the reasons that I've loved being working in government with KCK and now with Port KC, which is a little bit different, you know, we're kind of separate, but instead of just staying as an entrepreneur and staying with my own consulting firm and all of that, was sometimes bringing this innovative and a little bit of entrepreneurship into all of these and break some of those eggs, right? And make something new is what we all need.
Mm-hmm.
And I found when you do it the right way, all the other departments, other communities, other government, other people will work with you and will rally around you if you come in with the right approach. And because people want innovation, they know that the model's broken in many ways in economic development. So let's find a new way to do it.
I love it. John Stevens is with us, president and CEO of Port KC. John, I got to mention before we go to break, we both do the Ruckus Show together with Mike Shannon. He's been a great guest on this show and has some amazing stories from his time in journalism. That's a fun show to do, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I
still got to get that Christmas party planned.
I know. We got to get the Christmas party planned. It's been a great group of guests, great group of topics. And it's fun to keep that going and that tradition alive because it's something that I think more people should watch because it really is a great job. Not just when you or I are on.
Well, I'll tell you what, our ratings are high.
Donald Trump would
say we have the best ratings there is.
And no fake news. No fake news.
We were I think top rated on the network.
We were.
It's between us and We Can Review every week.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So it's pretty cool. It's great to have it. You can check that out. KCBT, John again is a panelist as well. After the break, John, I want to talk about some other issues going on here in Kansas City and talk about some of our peer cities and how we compare to them, if you will. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show. My guest today is John Stevens from Port KC. We'll be right back after the break. Thanks for joining us today on KMBZ 980 AM. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. Appreciate you joining us again on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast each and every week. You can find all of our guests and all information about our shows at grillnationshow.com. John Stevens has been my guest today from Port KC. He's the president and CEO. Website is portkc.com. John, I wanted to talk about some of our peer cities, if you will. Kansas City kind of relates. What are some of the cities that we kind of look at and compare ourselves to, I guess, as far as cities that are kind of in that same, maybe a little bit better or maybe a little bit worse on where they're at as far as growth and economic development?
You know, really.
Because I never can figure that out. Who are we comparing ourselves to? Because Denver's past us now.
Denver's past us. They're well over 3 million population.
Yeah.
And They've passed us. They were one of our benchmark cities mm-hmm. for a number of years. We still consider them a benchmark city in many ways. Our real peer cities are Indy, Indianapolis, Cleveland, I think Cincinnati, Nashville, Austin. You know, in Austin.
Louisville in there? We're a little bit past Louisville.
Yeah, I wouldn't
the
necessarily.
Mayor would, the mayor would say that to the mayor of Louisville.
Yeah, no. I really think it's probably those. It's the Ohio cities. Mm-hmm. It's Indianapolis. It's Nashville.
Are those the people we're competing with for these conventions as well?
Those are the people we're competing against. You know, you could add in Louisville with some of the ag and ag tech kind of
stuff. They're really
kind of
pushing that bourbon tourism too.
Yeah. And then Austin, Austin is still smaller than us, but they've grown so fast that, their downtown is, but from when we're looking at some of the key indicators, Austin is still one that I think we should look towards, and they are a Midwestern city or central city. So we look at them. Indy's great in youth sports. They're great in developing their downtowns and their civic infrastructure and how they
airport.
Work together, their airport. They have, they pulled together all of their counties and their municipalities years ago for collective arts tax, for collective tourism, all of these things that helped push them forward dramatically. They were far behind us, and they've really, in many ways, moved ahead of us, and now we're playing catch up a little bit with them.
Mm-hmm. How many people are coming to Kansas City region every year, do you think?
You know, the study numbers, and there's, people chuckle, but it really legitimately is about 22 million.
22,000 people a year coming to Kansas City migrating.
No. Oh, new growth. I thought you were talking about tourism.
Yeah.
It's around about 21,000 net new migration mm-hmm. into Kansas City annually, which is a good clip. But other communities are doing it much faster. But with that comes challenges, right?
Yeah. And talk about the tourism too. Some of that number.
Yeah, the tourism.
I'm not going to chuckle. I'm going to start using it
People,
when I'm getting beat up on ruckus, I'm going to say, 25 million people come to Kansas City every year.
People chuckle, but those are not distinct individual visitors, but those are people coming from a certain distance away into Kansas City. Now, those may be people that live in Topeka that weekend here or come here for Chiefs games or come here for Royals games. But you know what? They're still spending net new dollars in the community. So we can joke about that all we want. You know, I've heard in certain realms, certain people kind of make fun of that. And I think we probably need to look at it two ways of who are the more than 2 day, more than 3 day, like those real mm-hmm. visitors, and how many are doing day trips or trips, but generally they all spend money. They spend a lot of money. And last time I checked, I want to say for every dollar that Visit KC spends on marketing Kansas City, they return $47 to the coffers. So pretty good net return on investment.
Yeah.
And we need to continue to double down on that.
John, one of the things you said off air was that Kansas City needs to remember to, if we're setting a mile record, we have to still finish the marathon.
Yeah.
Tell us about that quote and why you believe in that. And let's talk about why that's important with continuing on in the future and what things are important.
Sure. So, we opened with, I grew up in South Kansas City, KCMO, but South Kansas City. And my father worked downtown, worked at 811 Grand, then moved up to what's now the Cerner headquarters while they were building the town pavilion, and then occupied the town pavilion as an AT&T executive. And I grew up going to the city and watching when it had 250 plus thousand downtown office workers, but it had zero people living down there mm-hmm. and not nearly the tourism quality and density that we have now. And where we need to go with this is we really have to not stop. So I watched, you look back on the 70s and you look back at, we built two stadiums and an airport, and we invested, we did these amazing, amazing things. And then we basically took 25 years off. We took a 25 year vacation. We didn't invest in our communities at all, really, for any big, big things. And now we're in the midst of another resurgence. We've built the Kauffman Center. We've expanded the Nelson Atkins. We've invested heavily in UMKC, the most investment that UMKC has seen in two generations. We've done a lot of great things, but we have a lot more that we have to finish. So we have to finish what we've started.
Mm-hmm.
we have to expand the streetcar and fulfill the promises that we've made to the citizens. We have to break ground and finish this airport on time and on budget and do it the right way. Those things are important. However, we then have to start. We have to continue to look at what the next 5 to 10 things are. And
are people doing that? You're an executive now. You've been one for years.
There are people doing it, but we have to reach a consensus. We need more people in our civic leadership. And there are a lot of great leaders in our civic leadership, but we need CEOs, civic organization leaders, and the community and elected officials to really work together and
say, next 5 to 10 things.
Here's our next 5 to 10 things. And they don't all have to be billion-dollar projects, but there has to be a direction. Mm-hmm. And what are those things? And once we settle on them, we have to continue to build them. Is it continuing to strengthen healthcare? Is it this? Is it this? There are so many different things, but we have to settle on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a thing in there for a downtown baseball stadium the next 20 years.
All right. Well,
that's going to happen at some point, but I'm putting that in there. I know that's not healthcare. It's not, affordable housing. It's not East Side development, but whoever the next mayor is, somebody will announce that. I think maybe in 8 years, and then the mayor after that will get to do the ribbon cutting.
It is a catalyst for development.
Some of our next mayor will be able to cut a lot of ribbons that Mayor James is going to, that he spearheaded.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it is something we will have to have that conversation as a community. And I mean, I personally, as an individual, as a baseball lover, as a lifelong Royals fan, I want to stand there and cheer the Royals on with the skyline right there.
Yeah,
I do. I think it would be fantastic. And I could make an economic case for it. Wherever it goes, that's a conversation that's going to have to be had really starting in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, because you're going to have more downtown development. Yep. And so that'll be really fun. John Stevens has been our guest. We got about a minute left, John. You mentioned streetcar, airport, convention center, hotel, Port KC, obviously all the things you're going to be doing, a lot of things that need to continue to roll here. Getting the streetcar extended to the river. Quick update on that. Is that progressing at all? I know it's.
Yeah, we're moving forward with a lot of the pre-design and engineering on that. We're working on the financial models for it. And really, knock on wood, we're really hopeful that we will see that much sooner rather than later. A couple key pieces fall into place, and I think you'll see that happen soon.
And then our friend Ryan maybe wants to take it to the East Bottoms one day.
Absolutely. I would be like happy to see. I'd be happy to see a Rieger stop.
Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? John Stevens, congrats on all your success and all that you do to help Kansas City grow. Appreciate you coming on the Grill Nation show today. Again, John is the CEO and president of Port KC. The website is portkc.com. Also always on Twitter, sharing really cool nuggets and data and information at Rock Hill Strat. That's Rock Hill, Strat. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Jason. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Thanks for joining us today on Grill Nation. We'll see you again next week, and take care and have a good one.
Giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.